Typically, at the Shiurim, we try to cover a specific halachic topic and go through the sugya a little bit, and we usually have more of a lamdas slash halachic angle on different things. We're going to diverge from that typical protocol for today, just because I felt for myself, as we're getting closer to Chag HaShavuos, Man Ma'an Torah Seinu, sometimes just going back to the basics, so to speak, and getting down klar certain yisaidis, not any chidushim in halacha necessarily or in lamdas, just being mechazek ourselves properly in our emunah in Divrei Chachamim, will only help us appreciate the Chachmas HaTorah on a higher level. So, like we said, we're coming up to Shavuos. Shavuos, as we know, is Man Ma'an Torah Seinu, the day that we received the Torah 3,327 years ago at Har Sinai. Typically, when we discuss Shavuos, the first image, at least, that comes to my mind is Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, bringing down the Luchos and spending 40 days in Shemayim, and now going forth and teaching Torah Shebiksav to Klal Yisrael. That's what we have. Torah Moshe is seemingly our five books of Moses, the regular Chumash that we have for Moshe Rabbeinu. However, as we are familiar, Rashi and we read yesterday in the both parshas in Bahar and Ruchu Kaisa, Rashi tells us very clearly in the beginning of Bahar that Ma'inyan Shemitah Itzar Sinai, why does parshas Bahar to start discussing Shemitah and then say because it's Bahar Sinai? Rashi tells us the famous words, "V'alakol ha'mitzvos nemru b'Sinai af elamatam ma Shemitah nemru kol yisrael protesel v'duktukeha b'Sinai." Just like Shemitah, all its details and all its finite laws are all, you know, told us by Har Sinai. So too, every mitzvah af kulan nemru kol yisrael v'duktukeha b'Sinai. So too, every single mitzvah, all its details were told to us by Moshe Rabbeinu after Har Sinai. Doesn't mean literally by the mountain necessarily. We heard every single detail about every single mitzvah, meaning, but from Sinai, from Moshe Rabbeinu, from his Kabbalah Satorah, from Kodesh Baruch Hu, from there we get every detail of Torah that we need to know. And Rashi also in Parshas Bifu Kaisai just says on the pasuk of Eila Chukim HaMishpatim VaHatayrois, these are all the laws that Hashem has given to us in Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai through Moshe. And Rashi again says Achas Biksav Achas Bal Peh, whether we're discussing the written Torah or the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral, all them Agit Shekulam Nasim LeMoshe MiSinai. So Rashi again is very clearly telling us that everything, all our Mesiras HaTorah, is very clearly coming from Har Sinai. This is not made up later on, so to speak, but you may Chachmei Mishnah, Chachmei Talmud, everything was already revealed to us through Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai and forward. And the Gemara in Brachos, it's number 3 on the sheets, also just the same idea, again and again, Chazal reiterating for us this klal. The Gemara there is darshing the pasuk in Mishpatim, that the pasuk there says, Ve'etne locha esalucha isa'even, v'hatayra, v'hamitzvah, shekasavtu, there is some, so the Torah there uses multiple words. It's giving us the stone tablets, the Torah, the mitzvah, and then Asher Kasafti Lahairaisam. The Gemara Dashans, each one of those words, Aluchais refers to Saras Adibrais, Torah refers to the Mikra, the Etzem written Torah Shabaksav, Mitzvah refers to the Mishnayis, Asher Kasafti is referring to the books of the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, and Dairaisam refers to the Gemara, which teaches us, the Gemara Firzais, Shekulam Nitnu L'Moshe MiSinai, everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. And Rashi explains what Gemara means is Gemara means Torah Shebal Peh is all the Svaras, Taimei HaMishnayis, all the Svaras and all the understandings between all the various mitzvahs, that's all given to Moshe MiSinai. And just to reiterate this even one more step further with an extra knech, the Yerushalmi darshins on a pasuk in Parshas Ekev, the pasuk there says that Hashem gave us Luchos HaAvonim, Ksuvim Be'etzba Lekim, Va'aleyem Kechol HaDvarim. And the Gemara darshins, the extra Vav, the extra Chaf of Kechol, and the extra Hey of HaDvarim, I mean the pasuk could have just written Aleyem Kol HaDvarim. And the Gemara there in Yerushalmi darshins, that refers to Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Agada, every facet of Torah. And then the Yerushalmi says one more line, Afilu Masha Talmud Vasik Asid L'Hairais Lefnei Rabbi, even that which the later students, even the most advanced students, will come to Paskin or Halacha later on before his Rebbe. Nonetheless, even though he might think it's a Chiddush, Kfar Nemar L'Moshe MiSinai, everything was already established for us by Har Sinai. So again, the Yerushalmi just reiterating us for the same point, that everything comes from Sinai. And even that which would only be revealed later on really has its basis in Sinai. So, very clearly, Chazal telling us from all these, you know, short Ma'amakimus from Rashi, which is kind of from the Midrashim, from the Gemara and Brachas, from the Yerushalmi, that everything was given over to Moshe Mesinai. The Torah Shebeksav, which intrinsically always needs a Torah Shebal Peh to go with it, otherwise it's very ambiguous in a lot of the halachas, like we know how we perform the mitzvah of tefillin or tzitzis, or even all the halachas of Shabbos, all 39 malachas, without proper Mesaras HaTorah, we never know. The Torah just says, put on tefillin. We'd have no idea how tefillin looked like without Mesaras HaTorah. We'd never know how to properly wrap the tzitzis without Mesaras HaTorah. We never know all the 39 malachas without having Chazal extract all them for us from the Torah Shebiksav. So, step one, it's very clear that everything comes from Sinai. So seemingly we can just close it up, and that was very straightforward. But now the question is going to become, how do we understand the following two Gemaras? Which on the next page, in number 5, the Gemara there has a fascinating story that happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, this is for the 40 days, when he went to learn and be ready to mekabel the Torah. So he sees how Kadosh Baruch Hu is sitting and, so to speak, occupying himself with the Torah is there. It's all ready to go. The book is complete in its form. And Hashem is now adding on a different crown to tagim on top of the letters. So now putting the finishing touches, so to speak, on the letters. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, asks Hashem, Hashem, what's going on? Why is that necessary? Why are all those crowns?
Is this on the Torah or on the Luchos that he was preparing for?
Seemingly in the full Torah. That's a good question. Seemingly in the full Torah. And he asks, Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem, what's going on? Why all this necessary? Why you have to do this to put these crowns on top of the letters? So Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that La'asid, there'll be someone who's Akiva ben Yosef, who we know as the Heligir Rabbi Akiva, who later on, many days from now, will darshan each and every crown, each and every little part on top of the letter, and bring from it multiple halachos and midrashim on it, and Moshe Rabbeinu was blown away from just such a small detail of the Torah, from these small little tagim, such great wisdom is able to come out. Can I see what's going to happen? So Hashem, so to speak, transports him to the future and shows him a shir of Rabbi Akiva, and Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting, it says, in the back, behind multiple layers of Talmidim, he's all the way towards the back of the shir, and he's listening to Rabbi Akiva's shir, and the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu, simply reading the Gemara, says he could not fathom what Rabbi Akiva was darshaning about. And the Gemara says, Toshash Koichai. Moshe Rabbeinu got a little bit upset. He was weakened by the fact that here he is sitting in a shir from Rabbi Akiva. There's rows and rows of Talmidim, and he's not having the slightest clue of what's going on. Finally, one of the Talmidim asks Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, how do you know this halacha to be true? Rabbi Akiva says, oh, because that's halacha Moshe Mesinai. That's our Messiah from Moshe from Sinai. The Gemara says, at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu was nisyash v'daitoi, he was appeased. And then the Gemara continues that Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem, Hashem, you have such a great Talmud Chacham, such a great tzaddik like Rabbi Akiva, why are you picking me to give the Torah? And Hashem says, Moshe, that's my cheshbin, not your cheshbin. You know, I make these decisions. I give the final word. Hashem says, and then Moshe Rabbeinu asks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can I see what's going to happen to Rabbi Akiva? What's his great reward? And Hashem shows Moshe Rabbeinu, how Rabbi Akiva was unfortunately from the Asar Ruge Malchus and how he suffered a horrible death. And Moshe Rabbeinu was amazed. What's going on over here? He asked Hashem, Hashem, this is Torah and this is Yitzchai. How can it be that someone as great as Rabbi Akiva has to suffer so much? And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Shesoik, be quiet, kach Allah b'machshava lefana. This is my plan for the world. This is how I run things. And this is not something you can understand at this point. That's the end of the Gemara. But let's just focus on the first part of the Gemara, seemingly very difficult to understand. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what's going on with these tagim, the little stuff on top, the crowns on top of the letters? And Hashem tells him, it's all going to be darshan Rabbi Akiva. He's going to be able to extract great chachma from even the slightest nuances in how the letters are written. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to see what's going on. He goes into the shir, and he's got no clue what's happening. And then, all of a sudden, the punchline from the shir is, oh, it's all halacha Moshe Mesinai. And he smiles, so to speak, and he's happy. So now, first of all, how did Moshe Rabbeinu not know what was happening? We just said, on the first page, all the Mekoros and Chazal, everything was given over to Moshe Mesinai. Moshe got everything he needed to know. So if Moshe knew Kol Torah Kula, so what was missing that he comes to Rabbi Akiva's shir and he says, I don't understand what's happening. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu L'chaira had it all. So what does it mean he didn't understand? And then Rabbi Akiva comes out and says, oh, it's halacha Moshe Mesinai, Moshe Rabbeinu was pacified. If he didn't know it, So why is he being pacified by hearing that's Halacha Moshe Mesinai? If he was the transmitter of it, so then he knew it. If he wasn't the transmitter of it, then he didn't know it. So if he says first, I didn't understand what he was talking about, and then he says, oh, I'm happy now because it came from me, so then why did Moshe Rabbeinu know it? Something is not connecting here in the Gemara, seemingly, of what is the pacification to Moshe Rabbeinu when he hears that's Halacha Moshe Mesinai. That's Gemara number one.
I would wonder also what the teretz was. He asked Rabbeinu Shalom, he said, Rabbeinu Shalom, is it possible that it's not you, that you could, Yukud Shabuku can't be include everything in the Sefer Torah, that now you have to come after the fact and add something? What's the answer to that?
I mean, in the first question, Rashi asked, like, what's Hashem so
what
fluent?
What's
meaning? What's the extra nekudas that are in the Tagan that are not?
The question was Mima Akev Al
Yadav.
So
what's holding
answer?
You back?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So Baruch Hashem
asking.
Could
be related. Right. Related
okay,
to
could be right.
Version.
Could be. We'll see. Perhaps.
And also, Rashi Rabbeinu should have had Chalisha Zadaska, because if you heard the words Halacha Rashi Mesina, you should have been upset. How could I have forgotten it?
Right. So it seems like that Rashi Rabbeinu, so to speak, it seems like right. That's part of the question.
It came
like
from me, and I don't remember.
Rashi Rabbeinu is happy now because it came from him, but then he didn't know what it was. So. So what's happening over here?
When did Rabbi Shalom put Moshe Rabbeinu in the shir of Rabbi Akiva in relation to the giving of the Torah? Was it before he gave the whole thing to him, or he's just...
That's an excellent question. I was hoping no one asked me that question. If Scott's asking a question, that when did this happen? So, meaning did it happen before Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah? Or while he was learning, so to speak, with Hashem? Or before the whole process started of Moshe receiving the Torah? So... I think it's Mashma from Rashi, which is on the side over there in that other column next to the Gemara, where Rashi says in different Maschonis Yashva Daitoi, Moshe Rabbeinu was pacified. Rashi says, Hayol umishmoy oimer, afal pi shadayim lo kibla, even though Moshe Rabbeinu didn't receive it yet. So it seems from Rashi that Rashi learned the Gemara that very easy to answer this question is that this was all before Moshe Rabbeinu started his chavrusa shav, so to speak, with Hashem. In the first day, he wanted to see what's happening, so he already saw the end result generations later, how Rabbi Akiva knew something which he didn't learn yet with Hashem, but then, according to Rashi, it sounds like, of course, once Moshe Rabbeinu comes forth from Sinai, comes down from Har Sinai and brings the Torah, of course he knew everything Rabbi Akiva would have said in Shir. So that, if we answer like that, which is seemingly Mashu from Rashi, then it's not so shver the whole Gemara, because the first day, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know anything yet, so to speak, or didn't know the depths of Torah as much. And then after 40 days, he got everything he needed to know, and he would have understood. If he would have went to Rabbi Akiva Shir at the end of 40 days, so to speak, of being in Shemayim, of course he would have had every aspect. If that's true, then the question is not so shver. Although Rashi does say that, seems like from other Mefarshim, as we'll get to, they didn't understand that to be Pashup Shav the Gemara. They seem to have understood that Moshe Rabbeinu already had the Chochmas HaTorah, and still... he did not fully grasp the depths of Akiva Shir, and he was only pacified when he heard Halacha Moshe Mesinai. But if you learn Pashat like is Mashma and Rashi, it could be that the Kasha is not so shver.
The Gemara, it's even Mashma and the Gemara itself.
Like he's first going up.
That's the first day, you're saying. It's Mashma like the first day of class.
He just got there.
Right. As soon as he saw that, apparently he
right. Okay, so I was referencing to be Mendaik in the Gemara that Rashi is very meduig in the Gemara itself. But I think I'm agreeing. But at the same time, I think we'll see as the other Mefarshim will get to, they didn't feel that was that for sure was klar that it had to be like that.
And then why do you have Chalisha Zadas on that side?
Meaning, if it's a first day, you shouldn't have Chalisha Zadas, right? Okay.
Or Tashish Kova.
The next Gemara, with number 6, introduces us, I mean, as we're all familiar with our learning in Mishnayos and Gemara, Machlekes is rampant throughout the Gemara and the Mishnayos. If what we're saying till now is that everything is so clear from Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, everything is, you know, crystal clear, everything's coming from Sinai, where's there room in the Mishnayos and the Gemara to have so much Machlekes? What's the Machlekes about? Everything should be Halacha Moshe Mesinai. This is the way it is, and what's there to argue about? It should be very straightforward. So, the Gemara here introduced us that there was a Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. They went on for 3 years, and Beis Hillel held Halacha was like them, and Beis Shammai held Halacha was like them, until the Gemara says, Yotza Baskol, a Baskol emanated from heaven and said, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim hein. Everything is the word of the living God, meaning everything is true. Both opinions are true. Let's just say one says Tameh, one says Tahar. One says Aser, one says Mutter. They're both true. But Halacha Kedivrei Beis Hillel, Halacha is like Beis Hillel. Now, the Gemara continues with fascinating Gemara. Why we pass like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai? Because of their Midos and their Anava. Very interesting to look at how the Gemara speaks that out. But let's just focus on this point right now. Pashas, like we just said, there should never be machloikis. Elamai, what would I think at first? The reason why there's machloikis is because we're human beings, and shikha sets in, we forget certain things. So, being that Matan Torah was in the year 2448 from creation, that was a long time ago, even till the time the Mishnah happened, it was over 1,000 years. So, seemingly, you know, we would like to believe that certain things were not so clear, maybe we started forgetting certain things, and that's how we can have machloikis, because things are not clear to us. We sort of forgot what was happening. We forgot the exact Messiah and everything. Now, the problem with that is that that might answer certain halachas, let's say, that are not so common. You know, we can have, let's say, the halacha of Birchas HaChama. Happens once every 28 years or so, right? So you'll say, you know, those things, it's not very common when it happens, so maybe we might forget certain details of it. But when we have machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about how to learn Kriyas Shema, how to daven properly, how to bench, all those, in just the beginning of the Gemara Brachas, it's hard to say that we forgot how to say Kriyas Shema, we forgot how to daven. Those are things that happen every single day, day in, day out. So there shouldn't be room for forgetting over there. Those are things that are part of everyday life. And then furthermore, what is this the Gemara saying? If there's one set answer, if everything is clear from Sinai, so how can they both be right? How could Beis Shammai, who says, for example, Beis Shammai says Tomei, he's 100% right, and Beis Hillel says Tahar is also 100% right. That doesn't work. Either it's guilty or innocent, right? Either it's Mutter or Aser. How could it be that they both could be 100% accurate? Which is really the Ritva's Kasha, and that Gemara in Erevin, which is number 7 on the papers. He asks, Heich Efsher, how is it possible Shu Shneim Divrei Kim Chaim? How is it possible that both of them to be 100% emes? So he says, very poshut. Well, not very poshut. The way he says it, sets it up for us, hopefully will make it more poshut for us. He says that what happened was as follows. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to receive the Torah, he learned the Torah on such a deep level that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was megal to him, b'chachmas ha-Torah, 49 ways why every halacha should be tahar or mutter, and 49 ways why everything should be aser. Meaning, Hashem was giving Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah and telling him all the halachas, this is the way it's going to be. A sheretz is tamei. That's what Torah says. However, in knowing Chochmas HaTorah to the utmost level, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to understand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu there are 49 ways why even a sheretz should be tahar. If you understand why a sheretz should be tamei, we also beyond my full understanding why anything should be tamei tahar, but that's what the Torah says. This is tamei, this is tahar. However, that all works in the Olam HaSel Yainim, why things have more, why things are more spiritually pure, why things are spiritually impure. But however that is to be understood, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to fathom 49 ways why a sheretz is tamei, and why those shmoneh shrotzim the Gemara tells us, the pasuk tells us are tamei, and why 49 ways why they should be tahar. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Abishter and says, I understand, if every halacha of every part of the Torah has sudden lakan, there's two sides of the scale of every halacha, so how are we going to know what to do? The possibilities are endless. So Ritva says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, she is a Moser L'Chachmei Yisrael, this concept is going to be given over to the Chachamim in Klal Yisrael, the Chachmei HaMasayir, Shebechol Dor V'Dor, V'yiyah Hachra'a Kimoisam. And they will decide how we are going to possibly carry forth this halacha in what's the suitable way to do it. Meaning, and the top of the page, the next page, number 8, the Medrash in Tilm says this basic same idea the Ritva is saying, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Kodesh Baruch Hu that the halacha in the Torah is Acheram Lahatas. So it's true, we're going to have machlokes, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, machlokes, Rabbi Yechon, and Rish Lakish, how to understand a certain halacha. And they're both 100% emes, both tzadim, side the tahar, side the tamei. Because as Moshe Rabbeinu was taught, there's 49 ways to go this way and 49 ways to go that way. When something is absolute in the Torah, so then there's no room for machlokes. Where is the room for machlokes where we have a Messiah, but it's not pshat that we forgot what's the halacha. It's not pshat we forgot some aspect of Hilchos Kriyas Shema. Well, how should we do this halacha of Kriyas Shema? It's not mefurish, there's no pasuk, it says lahedja. Do I have to stand? Do I have to sit by Kriyas Shema? Etc. All those other machlokes that came out. Moshe Rabbeinu was taught there's a machlokes about it. There's two tzadim how to understand why a person should dafka sit. There's 49 ways why a person by saying Kriyas Shema ba'arva should dafka lie down, like Shitas Beis Shammai. And there's 49 ways to understand why a person should not lie down when he says Kriyas Shema by Meirv. So how do we know, it says Moshe Rabbeinu, who the halacha is going to be like? So Hashem tells him the formula is Achiram Lahatis. That's the formula. We go with the majority of Chachmei Yisrael, and they have that mission to transmit that property to Klal Yisrael. And once that's established for us, we don't have a right now to decide, well, there is Shitas Beis Shammai out there, and there is 49 ways why he might be correct, because that's what the Gemara tells us. We're not going to get involved in all that right now, but the idea is that once the halacha is like Beis Hillel, you're not allowed to go like Beis Shammai. Once the Gemara paskins a certain way, although the Gemara might bring down a machlekes about something, but once it's kipaskined, you know, machlekes between Rav and Shmuel, we have Klolim, how we go? We go Shmuel in Dinim, and we go with Rav and Isser, we have Klolim, how we paskin, so that becomes a definitive psak. But at the same time, we have to keep in mind divrei. Both of them are divrei lekim chayim, that they both have proper mesaras hatorah. And it wasn't pshat that something was forgotten and then it was reestablished later. Oh, Shmuel came up with this chap, and now Shmuel changed the halacha. Shmuel didn't change the halacha. Shmuel was giving forth the mesaras hatorah with understanding the tzad of how to paskin this way. Rav is giving forth the mesaras hatorah, how to paskin with it this way. And now we have acharam lahatos. We have how we're going to define it in this world, with our koyach hapsak that was given over from Mesaras HaTayr.
Is it possible there wasn't a hachra in 40 years of the 1,000 years until Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel for Matan Torah on most of the daily halachas?
No.
And if a previous,
no.
If a previous generation was machmir to be machmir, so,
so that's
why,
what
we
have to revisit. That's leading into the next question. So now what we just set up. Okay, let's continue, because we're still a little vague what's happening over here, right? So we're saying, let's just say a little further. So we're just saying that Shitcha, we didn't forget that certain halachas exist, and then Beis Shammai still come up later and invent, there's this halacha, let's discuss how it is. The halacha was known, and now they're just discussing how to do it. Now, let's say like this. The Rambam...
Each can knew both sudden, like Beis Shammai knew both sudden, or they helped.
That's a good question, I'm not sure to answer that, but let me say the Rambam for a minute, because this is important to connect it. The Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayis in the Hakdama, and I didn't copy it here because it's very long, I just copied the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, Mishnah Torah, where he says it in more terse fashion. He lays down for us, there are five categories of Torah Shabbat Pen. Hopefully this will come clear, hopefully answer some of the questions that we might be thinking. So there are five categories in what we have, it's called Torah Shabbat Pen. Number one, he says, there are Pirushim that we have from Moshe Rabbeinu, with the remez in the pasuk, or they have a svara, and there's no chilek on them. For example, we have a halacha that on Sukkot we have to take a pre-Eitz Hadar. What is a pre-Eitz Hadar? Torah doesn't tell us. It tells us it's some nice, beautiful fruit. Comes along Amisaris HaTorah and tells us that the pre-Eitz Hadar is an esrik. There is no machloikis that a pre-Eitz Hadar, it might be an apple. The Gemara has a question, how do we know for sure that it's an esrik? And the Gemara says there's a remez in the pasuk. But the Gemara was never questioned, the Rambam speaks out, the Gemara never questioning that really, there was really a tzad, we should take an apple instead of an esrik. The Gemara just was trying to bring out the point to prove that there's a remez within the words of pre-Eitz Hadar, that it's Hadar, Meshar, and Lashana, etc. The Gemara in Sukkah discusses the various ways we can darshan a pasuk to see how it refers to esrik. So although the Torah didn't say the word esrik, or by hadasim, it doesn't say to take the hadasim. It says shalosh anafayis avos, right? And the Gemara darshins has to have three leaves, and they're braided on the branch, etc. And that comes to be the hadas. That is mesaras hatorah that there's no machlokes on. The Rambam says, and that's klar mechachmei mesaras that Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to us, and later on we'll find drushes to bring it in and remazim in the pasuk. But even without that remez in the pasuk, the Messiah remains true that it's an undisputable fact that Moshe Rabbeinu told us in the Midbar Sinai that an Esrik is pre-Eitz Hadar, etc. That's category one. Category two is the halachos which the Gemara classifies as halacha Moshe Mesinai. This is it. This is the Messiah HaTorah, and the Gemara doesn't even bring a raya from a pasuk or a svara to say it. For example, we have the halachos of Lavud, or good asik, in certain halachas, in mechitzas, in Erevin, or in sukkah, where the walls will say, even though there's a gap in the wall, we can see it as if it's closed up. Or shiurin, or halacha l'mayishim esinai. All those halachas, which the Gemara says, halacha l'mayishim esinai, again the Rambam says, they're undisputable Mesiras HaTorah from Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're stronger to a certain aspect in the Mesirah because they don't even have a remez in the Pasuk. We don't have the Gemara telling us anywhere even that there's some hinted to drasha we can say that where we see good, good asik from or love it from. These are pure Mesiras HaTorah, and again the Rambam says there's no room for machlokes here because these are pure halacha Moshe Mesirah. What that means is that it was given over as an undisputable fact. Then says the Rambam to the third category. There are halachos which are tully in Svara and in the drashas, the Yud Gimel Midos, Shahacharan and drashas Bahen. And there the Rambam says, Machlokes is possible. We could, because, like we said before, Chazal tell us, the Midrashim and the Ritva was saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was given over Memtes Panam Lakan, Memtes Panam Lakan. And there he says, there could be Machlokes in the Gemara of which way different Balei HaMasorah felt should go with. They felt that this was more convincing one argument over the other argument. They were arguing in Svaras from those 49 ways on each side of the scale, so to speak. Beis Shammai, let's say, felt, you know, certain arguments were more convincing, and Beis Hillel felt other arguments more convincing. And there, that's the halacha of Achram Lahatos that we're going to paskin like Roif. Now, it's not clear, this is a little vague to me, and I'm admitting that it's not clear to me exactly. So what happened before we passed in like Beis Hillel? So, you know, during the Bayis Rishon, before we had Mahalacha, was like Beis Hillel necessarily. So what exactly, how did they say Krishma Barvis? Did they say Krishma like Beis Shammai? They lie down at night, like the Gemara says, or did they not lie down at night like Beis Shammai? Hillel says, you don't have to lie down when you say B'shachcha of Kumech, you don't have to literally lie down. I would like to believe that we still paskin like we always had that Kabbalah of paskin like this. So it's just not clear to me at this point, for sure, 1,000% that's the way it was. Yeah.
Didn't anybody see how Moshe Rabbeinu did Krishma?
I'm sure they did. It's not clear to me at this point. I wasn't able at this point to see anybody specifically discuss that point. Okay, that's the first three categories. The fourth category, the Rambam says of Torah Shabbat Peh, are Gezeros, which Chazal made, that were instituted as a siyag l'Torah, because they know the pasuk says u'shmartem es mishmarti, and the drasha on that is that we should safeguard asu mishmeres l'mishmarti. We have to do certain safeguards to protect the Torah. Now, a classic example of this is we know basar v'chalav is asur, right? You take a piece of cow's meat, you can't mix it with milk. Comes along chachamim and say we also can have basar oif in gevina. Now, that was not undisputable. The Gemara brings down a chulin, I think it was Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Seglili, I think it was, or somebody else, I think it was Rabbi Seglili, who was known to eat a chicken cheeseburger. And his town, that's what they ate. But the Chacham of that dar realized that there was a slippery slope going on here. People were not going to properly discern the difference between chicken and meat. And therefore, the Chacham were kaveya that we cannot now eat, also, the Rabbana, we cannot eat chicken with cheese. That is a gezerah that Chazal instituted, and once it becomes the halacha, once the Chacham, even though it's clear, in this case it's clear, Rabbi Yosef Glili, I think it was Rabbi Yosef Glili, one of the other Amorayim, clearly allowed, and the Gemara says in his town, that's what they ate, they had their chicken and cheese together, but once Chacham realized that it was becoming too dangerous to continue that halacha, even though technically it's mutter midaraisa, they made a gezerah, and that's binding. We cannot decide now, 2,000 years later, and say, well, we're so well advanced, we have such good packaging that, you know, we'll never come to mix up chicken and meat anymore, so we can have it. Minatayr it's mutter. It's true, everyone agrees that minatayr it's mutter. But once Chazal were kaveh for us, this halacha, says the Rambam, this now becomes binding as Torah Shabbat Peh, although there's no remez in the pasuk for it. Then Chazal never said, oh, we have an asmachta where basar oif should be asur min ha-Torah. They never said it's based on a pasuk. They just realized that from their chachma, that this is a problem, and they had to make that takana, gzera. The fifth category, the Rambam says, are takanos that Chazal made for the sake of the klal. Like, for example, we're coming up now to the end of Shemitah. Hillel was misakin a pruzbul because he realized that for the betterment of the tzibur at large, people were stopping, unfortunately, lending money to one another, as the Gemara tells, Mishnah tells us. Therefore, Hillel said, we have to now make a takana, something that's good for the betterment of the tzibur, that you are allowed to make a pruzbul. Again, it's similar to the fourth category, that's a gezerah, but you don't have to write a pruzbul, meaning if a person wants, technically, he's not bound to necessarily to do a pruzbul. He can say, I'm being meichel on my loans, and that's great. And he can, and everyone who wants to pay him back, he can say, I'm meichel on my loan. But there are certain takanas that Chazal have the right to do that. It's also within their license as being the Chachmei HaMasera. Chazal can make those takanas. And other takanas also, we can get involved in all the discussion of all them. But Chazal made certain takanas for the betterment of the tzibur, as opposed to a gezeira, the way Rama puts it, which is the fourth category, where Chazal saw that there was a problem developing, so they had to cut it short and say, you can't do this anymore.
So this would all fall into the category of Afilu Masha Tamid Vasik Asid Laharis Lifnei Rabbi.
Right.
That, so this prus bowl or this chicken and cheese, that which is a takono,
right,
there's no basis, you said there's no basis based on the
right, even though, right, that's what
that
I
was mentioned to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right, even though we don't have, the Chazal never megal to us, where they might have a hint in the Torah why we should do prus bowl, or where's a hint in the Torah why chicken and cheese shouldn't be mixed together. Now, they don't need to tell us where it is, but it happens to be, truth be told, Moshe Rabbeinu was told this, that later on, we'll get to that more in a minute, that such a gzera will be, and somehow, there's somewhere in the Torah that it might be hinted to. We might never be zeicha b'hayalma to know where Chazal were able to discern that. And it's enough that we have the fact that Chazal have a license of making our mishmeres, mishmarta as mishmarti, to make those mishmeres for us. They don't have to tell us for us the reasons where they see the Torah, but they have that right because they have the full picture.
So our concern is that they are basing it, they're just not telling it to us, or they themselves say, we're not even using the Torah, it's just that we feel it's a slippery slope, and therefore we're misaki
the chicken and cheese. The way I would say it is like, it's a slippery slope, that's what they're telling to us, but since everything comes, the stakel bar raisa bar alma, right?
So it's
and
in
we'll
there,
see that in a minute.
It's in there, and they're not even telling us that the where is it, but that's part of the...
Right, I'll get to the Meshech Chacham, I think the Meshech Chacham is
not a problem, Baal Tosef, because they see that it's going to...
Okay, right, that's a good general question. In general, how Chazal have the right to be Meisif things and then fit them in the Baal Tosef. The short answer for that is that they're not really being Meisif or anything, they're just helping protect the Torah, as opposed to adding something to a mitzvah, let's say, make a fifth box on Tefillin Shel Rosh, something like that. That would be Baal Tosef because they're adding on to a mitzvah. Here, they're just protecting us from
together.
Getting, you know, together to protect, a siyug to protect us. Okay, so what we spoke out so far, basically, a quick recap, is that everything is given from Sinai, that's Chazal tells Klar, everything in the Torah, everything is from the Torah, everything was given over to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ah, where's Machlokes come in? So we said, Eilav Eilav Dibur Lekim Chayim, and the way that we showed him, explained that based on Chazal, is that Moshe Rabbeinu was taught various tzadim on each way to how to understand things, Memtes Panel Makan, Memtes Panel Makan, 49 ways on each side of the scale. Excuse me, and with that we got into the Rambam of basically laying down for us the five categories of Torah Shebaal Peh, where Machlokes is Shaykh. And the first two categories, again, that's where Moshe Rabbeinu gave pshat and what the Torah meant, and was, and we have a remez in the pasuk. That's one level of a something which we have mistaken for Moshe. The second level is Halacha Moshe Sinai, and happens to be, I don't have time to go into it, the Rambam goes on with a list of about, I think, about 40 things which the Gemara says are Halacha Moshe Sinai. The Chavos Ya'ir in Shuvis was an Acharin. He has a long Tshuva, Kuf Tzadi Beis. It's multiple pages, maybe 10 or so pages long, where he lists over 70 things where he found in the Gemara Halacha Moshe Sinai, and he tries to work them out if there is ever Machlokes or not Machlokes them. It's a fascinating discussion which is would take up a long amount of time, which we're not going to do right now. But the idea that the Rambam says that anything which in the first two categories, Machlokes is not Shayach. That is our Mesoira, and this is the way it is. Learn to discuss. The next three categories, which are Gezeirois and Dinim, which are, or Dinim that Chazal told us, which come from Shlosh HaShemidois, or come from Svaris. So there, Machlokes is possible, but once the Halacha is established, Basar Acharam Lahatois, that's the Halacha, it's binding. And number, the last two categories were Gezeirois and Takones that Chazal told for us. And again, also, in a Gezeirah, even though we might see that not everybody originally kept that Gezeirah, meaning before Chazal instituted, that people were able to eat chicken and cheese together, once Chazal said, once Gemara established for us, that's the Halacha, it becomes binding as Torah Shebaal Peh, and there's no turning back. And there were Takanos, which Chazal made for the betterment of the Tzibur. Now, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh in number 10 and the Meshech Chochma number 11 really now try to go back and put together what we've been speaking out till now and try to fit it back into the Gemara Menachos. Again, the Gemara Menachos is the Gemara where Moshe Rabbeinu went into the shir of Rabbi Akiva, and he was not having a pleasant experience there because he felt he wasn't understanding what was happening until he heard that everything is Halacha Moshe Sinai. So Aruch Chaim HaKadosh over here, number 10, really speaks out. He says, it's pashut to him, and like we said till now, that there's no chiddush Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. So what does the Gemara mean? that Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting there and he could understand what Rabbi Akiva was saying. So he says over there, it's in the middle of the paragraph, I'll just read some of the words out loud. It says, Avaloi Haydiya le Moshe, it was not known to Moshe, Kol Mashinos Loi Bal Peh, Heichan Hu Ramas Beterusha Beksav. Moshe Rabbeinu got everything that we need to know how to do all the halachas, even with Terusha Bal Peh. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not megala to him the location cited. Where is that exact remez in the Torah? Where every halacha is going to come out, even if it's halacha Moshe Mesina, or not, sorry, not halacha Moshe Mesina, other halachas which will come out only later through Torah Shabbat Peh, he knew them, but he didn't necessarily know where to pinpoint in the Torah these where the remez, where the hint to them is. And he says, this is a fascinating thing that Or HaChaim says. He says, "V'zuhi avoidas bnei Yisrael." This is our work, the Jewish people, Amalia Torah, who occupy ourselves in the toil of Torah. L'labesha halachos shenamu l'Moshe b'Sinai, to so to speak, cloak, to dress these halachos that Moshe Rabbeinu told us. V'hasoidos v'hadrashos, and all these halachos, where they're hinted to in the Torah. He says, "V'achareim v'ad hayoyim azu," from the time of the Chachmei HaMesorah, after Moshe Rabbeinu, until the current day, Zuhi Avoidas HaKodesh B'nei Torah, this is the holy work of those people who are toiling in Torah, L'dayek HaMekrois, to carefully read the Psukim, U'liyashvam, and to explain them, Al Pi HaMa'amorim Shem Torah Shabbat Peh, to explain them with our Mesorah, where we fit them into the Torah. Now, let's just clarify what this means. This does not mean we have a license to make up new halachas because we think we understand the pasuk a different way. No, it means that we have a Gemara telling us the halacha, and we have a license to, so to speak, expound on the Torah and say, Chazal said this is the halacha. Perhaps this is a remez for it in the following pasuk. We see that all the time, that the Gemara will constantly be looking, you know, immediately, where do you know this from? Beis Shammai says from this pasuk, Beis Hillel says coming from this pasuk, etc. They are being medayik in the Psukim with their Chochmas HaTorah to see exactly where everything is coming from in the Torah. And the Rechaim HaKadosh is telling us that's even applicable in the later generations. But again, it doesn't give us a license to change any halacha chas v'shalom. It only gives us the license to explain where everything from Torah Shabbat Peh, where all our Mesorah is coming from. Now, basically what's coming out is that Torah, the way I understood this, is constantly fresh. Meaning you take a book, any other book, Lahadl, Alfei Avdolos, right? It's a written word, and it's limited to exactly what it says on the page. But the Torah is not like that. The Torah is something which is constantly developing. It's constantly renewing itself, so to speak, in a way that we have the as we said before, Stakla Baraisa Bari Alma, since this Torah precedes the whole Bria Sa'olam, and Meshech Chacham really speaks out very clearly in number 11, this idea that, because if everything would have been clear to us from the onset, all Torah Shabbat Peh would have been written in the Torah, then we would have been stuck. He says that would have taken away a certain level of free will. He uses the example of Bishul Akum. He says, later on, Chazal were kaveh for us that Bishul Akum is Aser. Why did Chazal make Bishul Akum Aser? Because they realized that unfortunately Klal Yisrael was intermarrying too often, too frequently, and they realized that they were having too much camaraderie with the Goyim. So they said Bishul Akum is Aser, and we now have to stay a little bit further away from the Goyim. And the Gemara tells us that they based it on the Pasuk, the Gemara dashed in the Pasuk of Oichel Ba'Kesef Tishbaru. The Gemara makes a drush from a certain Pasuk of where Chazal had a right to see that Bishul Akum should be Aser. But says the Meshech Chochma, if the Torah would have written that halacha already Lahedja, then we would have been stuck, because we would have had to intermarry chas v'shalom, so to speak, and in order to fulfill that pasuk. So the fact that it's not, there's ambiguity in the Torah what the source is, so that gives the right for that problem to only develop later at its right time, or whatever year that's supposed to happen, and that gave the right to say, Chazal, okay, now is the time to make this takana, and we'll show you where in the Torah it's merumas to, because we have that mesorah, that this is a halacha that Moshe Rabbeinu passed down to us. But if it would have been already established from the beginning in the Torah somewhere, thou shalt not eat Bishul Nachri, then because of this reason that Chazal told us, because people were getting too close to Goyim, then it sort of would have had developed. This is, you know, this brings up the whole discussion of free will, how it works exactly. But the way I'm understanding it is that it would have had to be that you had to intermarry Chas v'Shalom, and the Torah doesn't want to say it like that. So within it's hidden within the Torah that this halacha is going to be created at a certain point, but it's ambiguous where the Torah it is, and the Chachma Amasayra Moshe Rabbeinu already knew that Bishlachan is going to become us at a certain day, but he didn't know, and he said, yeah, there's going to be a certain point. The Chachma Amasayra knew that. Doesn't mean that the common layman everyone knew that. Like the Mishnah beginning of Pirkei Avos says, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai or Masayra Yeshua. Yeshua and Leviim, right? There were people who were entrusted with the making sure that we have everything we need to know Masorah Satara. And when it needed to be taught to the masses, it was taught. And Chazal were able to explain where in the Torah we have certain Ramazim. But
if it was already written clearly, why would the problem? How would it even arise? That's what I'm not understanding.
Because it has to be a fulfillment
there
of that pasuk.
Definitely be a necessity for that to come.
Because the Torah is the living is that, that's the way it is. Right, like Torah setting how the world's going to run. So why it has to be that we're stuck now, United States of America, in the year 2015, 5775, and the certain gezeiros that are happening in Eretz Yisrael, all these things are happening. Somehow, everything is written in the Torah. And if you take like these Isha Torah seminars, it's fascinating always. They have all these ways of doing codes in the Torah, and all different types of gemashas. You see all different types of things. There is a chachma to that. That's chachma satayra. The Chazal gave us certain ways to discern things. Now, we can't use that to tell the future. That's beyond us, and that's dangerous if people try to do that. But everything is somehow hidden in the Torah. That's what Mesh Chachma telling us. Chazal were megal to us at certain times. You want to know where Bishul Akum is? This is where it's hidden. But if the Torah would say Lahedja that Bishul Akum is going to be usher because of this reason, then we would we'd be stuck in a hechrich. That's the way it has to be. Okay, we can discuss it later. I just want to finish up another point that ties all into Shavuos.
I guess, but it's, in other words, so takanos and gezeros have to be. We have to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu already in some way knew them.
Right. Like for example, muktzah.
Because
right?
We're committed to the idea that there can't be anything.
That's what Chazal tells us. Afilu mashe tamid vosik also this chadesh.
Because of that, so, that Chazal, maybe a Chazal similar one.
Right.
That it's there can't be a Jew that in a certain century this problem faced them, and the authorized halachic authorities decided that you know that we have to introduce this.
It's true, it happened like that. It happened that Chazal realized that they were being lax in certain areas of Shabbat. Ezra Nechemi, when Gezer Mukta, Shlomo was Masak and Erevin. These things, they realized for certain reasons it had to be done. But like the Mesh Chachma saying, it only came out later because the Yidden were being lax in certain things. And it had to develop like that because that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the world to work. That for 500 years, this problem didn't exist. But the Chachmas HaTorah, somewhere it's hidden, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew that this is going to happen. At some point, Muktzah is going to be established. It could be, seemingly, when the Yidden in the beginning, in the Midbar, when they first came to Eretz Yisrael, seemingly there was no Gezeirah of Muktzah. People could move things around on Shabbos freely. They didn't have all these categories of Muktzah. Only later on, it became that people were being lax in Shabbos. Now, where that's hidden in the Torah, I don't know. And that's what Rambam's telling us. We don't have to know. We don't have
to be hidden somewhere.
But it's got to be hidden somewhere in the Torah that they knew it, that they can do that. Where that exact location site is, I don't know. I want to just finish up with this Gemara. Tie us all into Shavuos. I think it's very geschmack to fit this all into Shavuos in Rus. So the Pasuk in Rus tells us at the end, after Rus comes back with Nami and the whole story, we're not going to go through the whole story, we all know it, but Boaz says to Rus, okay, Yibam must be done with you. And Rus says, okay, I want to do Yibam. Nami tells her to go do Yibam with Boaz. And Boaz says, no, there's another relative that's more closely related to you. And they go to this guy who the Megillah doesn't even want to tell us his name. We call him Pliny Almoini, he who should not be named. And he says, I don't want to do Yibam with you. And the Pasuk says in Perek Dalid, Le'ucha Ligol, I don't want to do the Yibam because Pen Ashkes Es Nachalasi. Perhaps I will ruin, I will destroy my inheritance. Excuse me. And the pasuk continues. He tells Boaz, "Goy alacha, you do the yibum, and you can have all the, you know, anything, all the inheritance. You can have everything." What's going on over here? So Rashi tells us that Pliny Almoini was concerned that his offspring, his children, would be not kosher yidden, because Rashi says he made a mistake in the drasha of Almoini v'loy Moyavis. Meaning the Torah tells us that an Almoini and a Moyavi can never join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. However, the Gemara darshins that although the Torah says a person from Almoini Moyav cannot join Klal Yisrael, that's dafka the male offspring, but the females could join Almoini v'loy Almoinis, Mayavi below Mayavis. But Pliny Almighty didn't know that drasha or didn't want to fully accept that drasha, it seems like. Therefore, he told Boaz, you can have this problem, you can deal with her, you can marry her if you want. I don't have anything to do with this. So the Brisker Rav speaks out of here. What's pshat? Why was he saying, the Pasuk says, I don't want my nachalasi, my descendants, to have a problem later on in life. He should say myself, I don't want to marry this woman because she's forbidden to me. What's he saying? Because my children are not going to be kosher. He's marrying a woman that's not suitable according to him. What's he saying? He's worried about his children. So Brisker Rav explains, based on the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos, which is over here at number 12, we'll just quickly recap it. The Gemara explains this whole story of how this drasha developed, so to speak. It says, the Mishnah starts off, Amayni u'mayavis, u'mayavi asurim, and it says, but nekevoseyem u'toros. And the Gemara gets into a whole drasha, a whole story with Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech was with Avner, and he sees this young lad, David, and he turns to Avner and says, who's this kid? And he says, this is David, the son of Ishai. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? Shaul didn't know who David was? Shaul already knew who David was. No, he wanted to know who his father was. Gemara says, what do you mean he wanted to know who his father was? He didn't know who his father was? No, it means he wanted to know which part of Shevet Yehuda he came from. Did he come from Peretz or Zorach? Because if he's Peretz, if he comes from the son of Peretz, then he's suitable for Melucha. If he's from Zorach, he's just suitable for other high positions, but not for Melucha. Then the Gemara says, and all of a sudden, Doeg HaDoimi comes up and says, no. Before you start asking who this kid is and what his yichus is on his father's side, let's first question if he's kosher or not. He comes from Rus. Rus was from Amoin. So maybe he's not suitable at all to be loved with Bekahal. So Avner responds to Doeg, what do you mean? Moyev, thank you. Avner responds to Doeg and says, what do you mean? Amoini v'loi amoinis, mayavi v'loi mayavis. So Doeg responds, what do you mean? Are you going to tell me mamzer v'loi mamzeres? Are you going to tell me that only a mamzer is also love of Bekahal, but not a mamzeres? And they go back and forth until Doeg seemingly has a KO against Avner, and Avner says, okay, I don't know, I'm not sure what Pshat is in this drasha. Perhaps the drasha is not correct. And then they go, and Shaul tells Avner, okay, go to the Beis Medrash and seek out from the Chachamim what's the halacha. So Avner and Doeg go to the Beis Medrash and they present their discussion, and Doeg challenges the Chacham in the Beis Medrash for all his questions, and it seems like the Chachamim were not sure how to answer Doeg. And Doeg was about to get up, make a proclamation that the whole family of David HaMelech and Yishai, etc., were all not kosher. Until the Gemara says, Amasa comes along, Amasa takes out his sword, so to speak, puts his foot down and says, no, I have a Messiah from the Beth of Shmuel HaRamasi, Amayni V'loy Amaynis, Mayav V'loy Mayavis. Game over, Doeg loses. That's the Gemara. Now Brisker Rav says, I understand what's going on over here. Doeg had all these questions on the drasha, and Avner couldn't respond. The Chacham in the Beis Medrash couldn't respond. And Amasa comes along and says, no, I have a Messiah from the Bezin of Shmuel, and this is the way it is. What happened to all of Doeg's questions? Even if his questions weren't answered. So what's Pshat in the Gemara? So the Brisker Rav says, very geschmack. He says, even though they already had this halacha in Derech HaDrashas of Amoini V'loi Amoinis Me'av V'lo Me'avis, that's only category 3. Of the Rambam's Mistoyer of Torah Shabbat Peh. Certain things that Chazal said b'svara or b'drashas, and there machlokes is shayach. So Pliny Almoini was worried that what's going to happen? We only have he thought that we only have the drasha of Almoini v'lo Me'avis, and of Almoini v'lo Almoini, Almoini v'lo Me'avis. In a drasha form, it's possible that later on, the next Bezdin will come with more svaras and pass in a different way, and we'll end up passing like that. So it's true. He's saying, right now, I can marry this woman because the Bezdin is saying the drasha of Amoini v'lo Amoini, etc. But it could be later on, my children will live in a generation where the drasha might change and Chazal might be kaveh, that's the halacha. So it's dangerous for my children to get involved in such a marriage. But what was his mistake? The Maskana Sagamara is his mistake. The Maskana Sagamara is Amasa was saying, no, it's not a drasha that's totally in drasha's Chazal and Svara's Chazal, one way or the other, and that might change until we're kaveh one way or the other. It's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Shmuel told us this is the fact. It's not up for a discussion if it is this way or that way and put in different svaras and him and her until we come to a conclusion. It's a fact that's our Messiah for Moshe Rabbeinu. Once something is a fact, it's undisputable. That's the Maskana Sagamara. Amasa was saying it's a fact. Doeg, you're wrong. It's not based on a svara. It's based on a fact of a pure, unadulterated Messiah, so it's undisputable. And Doeg could have questions today or tomorrow. It doesn't make a difference. That's our Messiah of Torah, and it's undisputable. comes along Boaz and tells Pliny Amoni, seemingly you're wrong. But Pliny Amoni didn't want to hear it for whatever reason, and could be that's why, you know, the Megill doesn't even want to tell us what his name is. It's a shmek from Kfira, from Apikarsis, of denying that something is from the Sarah Satira. When you want to say in Drush is one or the other, he can say perhaps, since it wasn't Kaveh yet for sure, this is the Halacha, so maybe next generation something might change. But once it's established, and this is coming after Amasa, this is coming before Amasa, but at the same time, it's already that they had this Mesorah already in the Bezdin already, the Chacham already had this Mesorah, so the Nevi'im already had this Mesorah, so therefore Pliny Amoni acted incorrectly, and therefore Boaz was fully allowed to marry her, and there's no problem of getting involved in this Halacha at all, because it's pure Torah Shebaal Peh, and there's no Cholek at all. Shmanta the Firais, I think that's very geschmack, while we lay in Megillah Surah on Shavuos. Because Shavuos is not only celebrating Torah Shebiksav, which is, of course, a tremendous celebration of itself, but we're celebrating the Mesorah HaTorah. The Mesorah HaTorah of Moshe Rabbeinu, what he told us, which goes together with it. It's so strong, the Mesorah HaTorah, that our Spitz King, David HaMelech, is only a kosher Yid because of Torah Shebaal Peh. If we would only have Torah Shebiksav, David HaMelech wouldn't be kosher. We would never have Mashiach. I don't know, you can go on and on about this. The only way our whole Mesorah is set up is Gufa because of Torah Shebaal Peh, Gufa because of the Mesorah we have purely from Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why we lay in Megillah Srus, perhaps on Shavuos, an extra reason I saw the Mefarshim speak this out, you know, based on this Priskarov, based on this Gemara, because just to inculcate into us that the whole lineage of David HaMelech is only coming because of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's not enough that we have Torah Shebiksav. Torah Shebiksav is a great, is unbelievable. But without Torah Shebaal Peh, we wouldn't have Yidenu Bebeis HaMedrash, so to speak. We wouldn't be able to comfortably digest all the various mitzvahs, and with that, we lay in Megillah Srus on Shavuos, and Shavuos B'Zeiche, Zman Ma'an Terasein, to Makabal, the Torah again, the Avo Biura, and Shobi Zeichet, the Chakosh of Sameach.